Hello everyone, this is Dark Journalist. Tonight I have a special interview for you with author and researcher John W. Warner IV. Now John is the son of the late Senator John Warner of Virginia, who worked with the Majestic Group involved with the UFO file. His mother, Catherine Mellon, is the Mellon banking family heiress. John came forward on our show and shared many things about his family and the UFO file, including his cousin Chris Mellon, a DOD official spearheading a UFO threat disclosure operation. Today he'll go even deeper. Please join us now. John, it's great to have you back.
Thanks.
I wanted to say that
have a martini.
This is the real way to catch up in the summer.
It's not too strong, but just enough to fortify me.
Come on, that's just iced tea, and we know it.
No, it's my own special mix: nitromethane, vodka, extra lime, and shoe polish.
What do you call it?
The Warner Special.
You had the interesting fortune of going to some UFO events recently, and you were going to give me a full report on that because they were so interestingly timed with the whistleblower Grush coming out and giving us all these UFO revelations. John, what was happening down there at the Greer event in Washington, D.C.?
Sorry, I can't talk about that. Need to know only. Now, it was my first time going to a UFO anything conference or a hearing or whatever they call
it. You actually spoke at this.
I did. Yeah, he gave me a few minutes to speak, and I just said my spiel. It's no big deal. But it was a very interesting experience. It was 3 days. I met a lot of interesting people. My wife and I went with Eric Hecker and his wife, or his girlfriend.
He's a whistleblower from Antarctica associated with Raytheon.
Right. He worked for Raytheon. He was in the Navy on a submarine, and he was part of the Ice Cube neutrino tracking project, which is for deep space communications. So
that story sounds absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. It's very technical, but he does it on his channel. It's called Deciphering My Experience. Mm-hmm. And I urge people to check him out. He's the real deal. He could prove he worked for the Navy in Raytheon, and he could prove that he worked at the South Pole Station. Unlike a lot of people who just get on a cruise ship and they touch an island north of Antarctica, and they say, "Oh, I've been here, and there's a penguin." No, this guy went to the South Pole many times, and he worked for the military.
Wow, interesting. Well, in a nutshell, what is he saying was going on down there?
I urge people to check his channel out. But basically, the Ice Cube project is a huge array of cubes in the ice. I don't know how big it is; it's a couple kilometers long and deep, but it's massive, and you can track anything on Earth with it.
Interesting.
Not just ELF; it's some other things going on with that. The technology. He knows it better than I do, and he says he heard that it was for deep space communications.
Wow.
Now. Like I told you before, it could be you could send signals through an Einstein-Rosen bridge, a wormhole, to another galaxy. So if you've got a Navy ship, let's just hypothetical, if you've got a large Navy ship and it's doing business in the neighboring galaxy of Andromeda, you could send a signal, and it's probably quantum on the quantum field, instantaneous probably.
Wow.
That's mine.
Now, didn't your dad, when he was doing Operation Deep Freeze, didn't he also let out to you that it was about space?
Yeah. He didn't elaborate. This is back in the 70s, but in the ensuing years, I asked him more and more, and he says, "Oh, we have more and more presence down there. Other people do too, and there's a lot of things going on." But he didn't really do specifics, but they definitely found something massive down there. The Germans went down in 1903, maybe before. Who knows what the Thule Society was up to? You know, they might have had some ancient maps and ancient lore that said, no, part of Atlantis, there's a colony or something under the ice. And the ancient maps all show it being ice-free. So I think we can pretty much extrapolate that it was once habitable. I think 25,000 years ago, I want to say Robert Schock did that, geologist. It's something like that. And they've studied the ice cores and everything. And there is a landmass underneath all that ice. It's like a mile thick or more. So, I mean, they probably found some ruins from pre-Diluvian times. I think, you know, we need to get over that hump for sure. Grant Hancock does a good job, but he's a little shy on the whole ET thing. No, humans did it. Well, there might have been somebody, you know, 100,000 years ago. He's a little shy on that. Come on. I mean, it's obvious.
He went deep on the Pyrenees map because that's what showed Antarctica with no ice on it.
Right.
And those the question is, how did they navigate to see that?
Because they had sextants and they knew the stars.
Yeah.
Well, that technology, that's all been a lie. The Arabs had an astrolabe and other things, you know, a primitive sextant. That's what the Arabs used.
Oh.
That technology made it to the Vikings.
Wow. So
like, oh, yeah, they're using a soapstone or whatever. And it's like, no, they had this.
Fantastic.
You can get it. It's very intricate. This is a replica.
What timing, what period, like 9th century?
This is a sextant.
Okay.
So there was a U.S. Navy film. It's gone now, I think, unless someone out there can find it. I can't find it. And it was from the late 50s in color. And there was a series of U.S. Navy films. And it did it. It said something very strange to me. I caught it. I remember years ago I posted it on Twitter before I canceled that account. And nobody paid it any mind. But you have to watch it into the middle. And the guy who's narrating it says he drew the great circle around the Earth. And he said it lines up with Stonehenge and Easter Island and Namadol and all the you know, pyramids of Giza. And it's this big circle. And he said, mariners have been using instruments and using the Great Circle to navigate the globe for 150,000 years.
Incredible. Wow. Unbelievable.
I got to try to see if that's still up there, but that's what it said.
Wow.
Hello, was that, you know,
yeah.
The film was from 1962. It was a color film by the U.S.
Incredible. That's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Remember on Twitter, my UFO ghost story, you know. You know, anyway.
Hey, Lou raised his eyebrow when he was talking about alien bodies, you know. UFO Twitters loves that.
They love Lou. I posted something recently, and I said, I got a little angry, and I said, this guy's a freaking liar, and he's just a horrible person.
Oh, yeah.
Why, you know, all the fluffers out there on Twitter, why they love Lou. Oh, man. It got in a
pile on. Yeah.
But there was a lot of people who went in there, and I didn't talk about it in the tweet. I let other people talk. And they went at it pretty hard. So, I think the temperature might be changing a little bit on UFO Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
For all whatever that's worth, as far as, you know, is Lou and Chris Milne, are they really that trustworthy with Gary Nolan and everybody?
UAP, the whole gang, yeah.
You know,
That's interesting what they've developed there, because on one side you have this kind of UFO Inc. with Corbell and stuff. When they show photos, when any news agency talks about it, they show copyright Corbell and, you know, his photos of flares or whatever it happens to be. So there's an attempt to kind of co-opt and then, you know, incorporate copyright and trademark UFO footage and UFO films for media use, and just to ignore all the normal stuff. I mean, where are the normal civilians submitting that stuff? You never see those people.
Ridiculous. You know, my wife and I were talking about this today. It's like, you know, with the Grush thing and everything, boy, did that make the rounds of the, you know, the internet. It didn't make the major papers or anything. I looked everywhere. The Guardian in England, you know, which is Fleet Street, you know, probably more truth in the Guardian than much more than the Times, London Times.
Yeah.
But it's like, I was thinking, are they monetizing Grouche? I mean,
yeah.
The UAP task force with all this, you know, Disney characters, Chris Mellon and Leslie Keen and Gary Nolan. Are they making money off of this?
Yeah.
We're making money off the UFO disclosure, sort of.
Right.
Kind of disclosure, not really, but. And we're putting it into black projects.
Right. Listen, wow.
Capitalism.
Yeah.
Is that the only reason why they're doing it? Is it's another funding stream?
Wow. Excellent point.
Think about.
Yeah.
It's
definitely, there's a shameless quality to the promotion around this. There has been for a while, but especially since TTSA, Kane, the New York Times, that whole thing that brought this story forward. But Grouche, it's interesting to me because pictures came out of him with Knapp and with Jay Stratton and Corbell from 2022, where they were grooming him clearly. And then they roll him out a year later, you know, and they give him an image and everything. But in his interviews with Russ Coulthard, who's the guy who used to be with 60 Minutes in Australia and took off to go over the UFO disclosure cliff.
He's my favorite. He, of all the whole gang, you know, the gang of 20 or whatever it is.
Right.
I'm scared. Really?
No, it's I'm scared. What the hell is that? I mean, what kind of an interview session was that? And all these softballs. And from an intel level, when you look at this, you see Grouche answering these questions and saying things along the lines of like, well, sometimes, you know, when things crash, there are pilots who are dead that are, you know, operating the controls.
Thanks. Thank
you. Yeah.
Didn't know that. Thought it was really
What do you make of this kind of intel dance language that's being used there?
Well, it doesn't fool any of your subscribers or us, or, you know, most people in the, not everyone, but a good chunk of the disclosure movement doesn't fool anyone. You know, he was well-groomed. Obviously, he's not the only military or U.S. Air Force officer to come forward over the years. Bob,
right.
And, Corso and
Legion. Oh, no, you make a good point. They came forward and they were like, you know, Coulthard said, this is the first time that a military officer has ever come forward. It's ridiculous. Right.
That's how you know he's part of the op.
Yeah. Because
He's bouncing off of Grouche. It's well scripted.
That but is propaganda. Remember, Corso was a colonel. Yeah, come on.
Officer. And so they've wholesale ignored the past because they're not, remember, we're not their customers.
Right.
Disclosure folks. We're not. It's the general public, whoever they got for it. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to do that. You know, my thinking is that they used Arrow, you know, Arrow in the Pentagon said, oh, no, we don't sign off on any of that. And so I tend to think that that's part of the idea is to just bounce it around Congress, Pentagon, UAP task force in this triangle, you know, like a Bermuda Triangle. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of the rum, sugar, and slave trade. I mean, it feeds itself.
Right.
And everyone's making, they were making money hand over fist back then in the old days. So it reminds me kind of that. I think they're using the Pentagon Arrow as a controlled opposition.
Yes.
Oh,
Patrick and
naughty UAP task force. You shouldn't have said that. We don't sign off on that.
They set up their own dynamic there.
Yeah, they set up the dynamic.
They've been attaching a lot of these things, like the UFO Defense Office Arrow, to the National Defense Authorization Act. That's new. And it's a way to embed the whole UFO threat, and we need money to finance a defense against that threat directly inside the government because that bill is used to pass so many trillions per year. And the presidents have to sign off on it every year. If you attach something in there, you're stuck because, you know, the person has to sign it because the military and all those people get all that money. When you look at that and you see somebody like Burchett, for example, the congressman out of Tennessee running these hearings, and he's saying, oh, I'm attaching inside the NDAA that, you know, the Pentagon has to give us all the UFO information. So it is Representative Burchett who's putting on these UFO hearings. What do you think, and he's making Grouche the star witness, what do you think of him using Grouche in the first place, and what do you think of him running those hearings?
Well, it at first I was going to reach out to Burchett, and then I thought, wait a minute, he seems very convenient all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I think he might be part of the operation as another controlled asset who's sort of saying, oh, you naughty government, you know, give us the truth. And this brings up another point in that whole mix of this bill and everything. I have a lot of reservations about, Chris Millen speaking up this, we're going to give immunity to whistleblowers. I presume that means their whistleblowers, the approved
ones. Oh, yes, Burns. Right, so right.
They get immunity. You see how this works?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, any other corrupt.
Tell our story.
Right. It's like going before a Nazi judge. It's, you're done. I mean, it's everyone's mm-hmm. working on the inside. There's no justice or anything. So they're giving us this quite an interesting mosaic that's hard to piece together. But then it's like, oh, no, they're all in on it, in my opinion, because Burchett just came out of nowhere. He's from, Buckwheatville, Tennessee. No offense, Tennessee. But it. He just comes out and then he's like, wait a minute, a senator told me, we have more important things to talk about than UAPs. And he, oh, shucks, this oh, shucks routine. And, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's legit and he is curious. That seems very convenient.
Oh, I agree.
He seems groomed for the job.
Yeah.
All these people are on some level in the round table mix. They're on some level. They're all cooperating. That's the way I would do it.
Right. And they're setting up a false paradigm.
Yeah, I'd say, well, get a senator and a congressman to come forward angry. If I was coming up with this operation, I still think they're being a little obvious, but only obvious to people in the disclosure movement.
Right.
For the average citizen, it looks 100% legit.
So they're cashing in on their ignorance.
Yeah. Sadly, yeah, it's the truth. And when I was at the Greer thing, there were some nice people that came up to me, and one woman said, "What do the aliens want?" And I said, well, "Which one?" There's probably thousands that we're dealing with. It's like there's more than one. And she got all agitated and freaked out. And
wow.
So I'm not saying that's indicative of his fans. He has a mixed bag of everyone. He has no control who comes. But it was a very interesting show, the Greer thing. And I want to say, I always admire Stephen for everything he's done the past 35 years. I think he's done the whole world a huge solid.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And I'll always support him. But he can beat a dead horse sometimes. I don't want to be overly critical, but I want to be constructive. He tends to beat a dead horse. Repetition of this knowledge, his recent film, about the environment and everything.
The Lost Century.
Actually, for the general public to repeat all this stuff.
Yeah.
The disclosure movement, it's a little bit of a dead horse being beaten. And the other thing that was interesting is I had a group of 10 people, Eric Hecker and I and my wife and everything. And the CIA sent two young operatives. One was a very handsome young man of 29, and another was a very attractive young woman of 28. Mm-hmm. And the attractive woman was off to another group. We got the young man, so we had lunch with him. And he's asking us all these questions, and all this stuff. And my wife and everybody, we're kicking each other under the table.
They knew
and
the
finally
sign.
I said, you're a very knowledgeable young man. You should join the CIA.
That was the end of his operation, right?
Come
there.
On, you're putting your C team in on us. That's kind of sad. I was hoping for at least, But I met some very interesting people at the Greer Show, and I thought Greer did an excellent job with his whistleblowers, especially the one who talked about the UFO landing with special forces, private military forces, and they were doing drug trafficking, which we've heard about, and he also said there were body bags for human trafficking.
Oh,
that
wow.
was a
yeah.
big step up for Stephen Greer and his whole entourage. And I congratulate them for that. Something I've been talking about, you know, and it's not popular to talk about, but he has a large fan base. And so that was good. It kind of ups the game a little bit, because this stuff that we're talking about, the dirty laundry of the military, industrial, corporate, intel complex, is dirty. History is dirty. People don't know their history. It's like you go back, there's genocides everywhere, dirty deals. I mean, there's not much of history that's clean. It's just, you know, so in that sense, it's the same old, same old. It's, you know, slavery has never gone away. Drugs have always been with us.
Right.
You know, these kinds of things. I thought that was good.
It's interesting to think that they would use a redeveloped UFO for purposes like, you know, criminal deep state purposes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Optically invisible. You can be on the other side of the world in 5 minutes. You know,
exactly.
Land anywhere because you're hovering.
Yeah.
Anti-gravity technology, cloaking. All that stuff is, they've had it for years. And they, you know, I first heard a story, I think it was 10 years ago, that, you know, the black hat elite folks, you know, the uber elite, used black triangles as their personal jets. And I thought, oh man, that sounds like a little far-fetched. But now?
Yeah.
I think so. I think it has been going on. It's once you understand all this technology and where it's being used and who's using it for what, it's just not that, you just got to get over it. And they're whipping around the solar system, not a problem. I think they're in the nearest star systems for sure. Especially this Ice Cube project, it lends me, you know, that's a good solid chunk of proof that you know, it's used for deep space communications. And deep space does not mean the solar system, folks. That means out in our galaxy and possibly through a wormhole to another galaxy.
Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating. And what level of advantage would you get having that technology at your fingertips while the public is completely blind to it? It shows why there's two levels of society going on here.
Yeah, if somebody offered me a ride to the moon and check it out, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Right, exactly.
I wouldn't go, but part of me would say I'd love to.
SpaceX wants to send you there, don't you know, John?
Well, I think if you go work for a certain corporation, let's just say the Raytheon or Rand or somebody.
Yeah.
And they'll say, you've done a great job for the first year. Now, you know, we want to up your security level. What do you think about, you know, working on the moon? And they'd be like, seriously? And what a great way to impress somebody by taking them to moon in like 10 minutes. And you're back to lunch.
Right.
In the moon base, we're doing, you know, we're building out this gym for the moon base. You know, we got to drill out some rock and we want you to do that. And how impressive that would be for younger folks and impressionable people to be like, oh, I want to work for you. And yes, up my security clearance, because they don't know the rest of it.
I get to work for the A-team, right?
Yeah, I'm working for the A-team. Oh, work on Mars? Sure. The giant spiders are on Mars? What? Oh, don't worry about those. You'll be working underground for the rest of your life.
Do you think that when you look at this and you think about the advanced technology side of it, I think about, where is UFO Bilderberg? You know, and this weekend we just had Bohemian Grove, and that's a meeting where we know elites have got together for years on the political side, the financial side, the media side, and what goes on there stays there. And they've been up to that for over 150 years. When you see groups like that operating and controlling things, I mean, is this the nature of the problem of secrecy when it comes to the culture?
Oh, yeah. The Grove is, what is it, over 100 years old. My father was not, never went, he told me. I don't know of any Mellons that go. Maybe some do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I have one good friend and his father, they're bankers, they go. And they invited another good friend of mine to go this summer. And I asked him, look, tell me if there's concentric circles, cliques, rings of people, you know, and he said, yeah. In fact, to, you know, get into that group over there, you know, by the giant owl, which is, you know, I'll get that in a minute, but You have to be invited. You have to be vetted. You have to be approved. And he said, yeah, some of the circles he said were very hard to get into. People wait years and years and years to get
in. Oh, wow.
And one of my dad's best friends, a good senator that I know, he goes. I found that out recently, too. Oh. So it's the perfect blackmail party. I believe it's all men. I know they have prostitutes. Men will be men. Vegas, everything stays in the road.
It stays in Vegas.
And I've read several books about what goes on there, but it's the perfect blackmail. If you get to some of these inner circle rings, you'd be like, oh, now you're part of the A-team. And you'd be like, all right, well, let's, they'd take your drink, and they would just put a Mickey in, and you'd end up in a compromising position with photographs and video taken.
Ah,
and I'll let people's imaginations run wild because it gets very dark.
It's a control situation there because the blackmail is available immediately when you're done.
Immediately. Yeah. And you'll never get out from under that because a photo with you and young children in a bed.
You're done.
You're done. And so that's, I think, maybe what's happening there. I don't have proof of that. I've read a few books that purport that. But if I was of that mindset, I'd be like, perfect idea. Mm-hmm. They started back over 100 years ago, I think, maybe into the late 19th century, 1890s, they started it. They probably started it with some different intentions and then some more important people and presidents and politicians and bankers and things entered. They were like, we're the 18th.
Nixon called it out.
And the way that it's command and control structure, only instead of – there's a ranking system, caste system. But the blackmail is ironclad. So it's –
wow. I mean, it must be interesting just to know people who've gone there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It must feel like, oh, my God, 6 degrees of separation, and they're in that world.
A huge, fun party. And I said, well, did you understand the giant owl? He's like, the cremation of care. I don't know what that's about. I said, it's the cremation of caring about anyone else but yourself and your buddies and your circles. That's what it means. The giant owl, again, it's from Hecate. Her owl, Catherine of the Wheel.
Yes.
Empire of the Wheel. And Moloch. I mean, these are Anunnaki-derived gods and goddesses. I think these are Babylonian rituals. Mm-hmm. They're dark. And they may practice blood rituals there, the inner circles. So I don't
interesting.
Know.
Yeah, that intersection of...
No women, except for prostitutes.
Well, that harkens back to early... secret society rules about all men. So they still have that. It's interesting, too, to think about how interwoven the political process is with the secret societies. If you go back 100 years to Steiner talking about it, he said the entire American political structure was left-hand mystery schools and right-hand schools, and it was a big problem, a big tug of war between the two. But it sounds like Bohemian Grove's pure left-hand secret society dominated.
That's the impression. Maybe we're wrong. It could have some right-hand path people on the side of positivity for some sort of balance purposes, but it doesn't seem to be much. I mean, even the founding fathers back in the Revolutionary War period, I mean, everything was secret societies, the Hellfire Club of England.
Right.
They probably had a chapter in America where Ben Franklin,
Yeah.
And others would join, and then the Freemasons that were public. But it seems like every important in my history, like the books I write, I mean, General Marshall, FDR, I mean, everybody seems to be a Freemason of 33rd degree.
Yes.
And an odd fellow, that's just another form of Masonry. So,
FDR. Yeah, exactly. It's always one or the other. And it's interesting, too, because I agree with you. I recently found information about Reagan attending the Grove in 1976, and it's in David Rockefeller's notes, directly out of his file cabinet.
Well, I bet he was being groomed for the presidency in the 60s.
Yeah.
When he ran. And how do you control a president?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean... That's the way I do it. I'd say there's only one thing you can do to control someone who, who's a president of the United States or a general or, you know, senator, and that's enough blackmail. Now, you can do financial blackmail. You can do mistresses and, oh, we're going to out your dalliances and everything. But that's, you know, someone could say, I don't care. Go ahead and do it. I don't care.
Yeah, right.
But the other stuff.
It's too hardcore. Absolutely.
You never get out from under it. I mean, you know, so.
You get someone like Reagan, you think, you know, hardcore Christian type. It's interesting. Maybe a challenge for them to get control files on someone like that. But then you're right, because they've been planning his presidency for a long time.
Yeah. Well, they take no chances. It makes sense if you look back in history and everything. The right president comes along at the right time for certain purposes.
Mm-hmm.
He served his purpose, and he was the right-hand path. And they thought they could control him. It worked. LBJ, better. He got civil rights in the deal. That was his one good thing, I think.
Right.
Saying Nixon, you know, he wanted to open up doors with China and end the Vietnam War. Those were, you know, some of his, and the EPA. People forget that.
Right, yeah.
He did all that. And, but no, they tried to control Nixon. He was going to go off the reservation with the UFO file and other things.
This is the thing. It's so that hidden thread throughout history that we don't know about when you deal with these. And, you know, even you bring that out there about Nixon, no one, when they think of Nixon, has any idea about his UFO activity.
Yeah. Well, there's the story about Jackie Gleason,
right. Carter,
which I think is true.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
His wife wrote that. Jackie Gleason said to his wife, don't ever print that. But when he died, she went out and said.
Yeah. So, his wife literally said it, put on the record twice.
Yeah. You got to think it through. It's like, why would she do that and make fun of her husband? She did it because she thought it was important.
Mm-hmm.
Most people made fun of it. National Enquirer, Jackie Gleason, Alien Bodies. They made fun of it. So the impetus, when people come forward with these stories, you have to always go back and try to get into their minds. What was the impetus? She must have thought it was that important to smear, you know, the great one, as they called him. He was, you know, and... So that's telling in my book. It's like, you got to go back. What is the impetus for people to come forward with that information? Because it doesn't do them any favors,
right.
Especially in the old days.
Yeah.
That would have ruined his career. Well, it probably wouldn't have ruined his career, but it would have stained him. Ha ha ha. You know, and he'd be the Johnny Carson, make fun of him and everything like that.
No question about it. And he apparently, the notes from that story is that the Air Force base was in Florida.
Yeah, I know it.
Oh,
I've
yes.
I've never been there, but I pass it. You know, I've lived in Florida off and on for years. Oh, yeah.
Interesting. There's a base down there called MacDill, which there's a COG commander that they're installing now. They're improving him. He's the new one. We have the Roswell one. He's outgoing now. We got this new guy. And again, MacDill has that history of UFO activity around it. We have another COG, continuity of government player, taking over NORTHCOM, who has a UFO connection.
Yeah. No, you've done a masterful job connecting a lot of these esoteric dots. And now it all connects. When you drill down on whether it be, you know, me and Chris Millen, our family, or, you know, the connections between presidents and this group and that group, it's all a connected web.
Yeah.
And
it's amazing, isn't it?
Really. It is.
But and you're right in the center of it with your family connections and with your dad. I mean, your dad being a part of MJ-12.
Yeah, in a fashion. I think a magic member is a liaison, but yeah, someone you consult with. You want to pass information to the Intel Committee or the Armed Services Committee that's classified. You know, my dad was chairman of the Armed Services, so they would call him up. And he said that. I knew that all the time. I didn't know what that information was, but now I think we can make some really good educated guesses as to what it was. The Navy had the lion's share technology always.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, I think my dad was much deeper in this than I thought, because that stuff I found out about the underwater National Reconnaissance Office and AUTEC and that, and Glomar Explorer. He never mentioned any of that. I found that on Wikipedia of all
time.
And I double checked with the Navy records and, you know, U.S. Navy archives. I'm surprised I'm not banned.
Well, there had to be some hints in your childhood because you're growing up around Admiral Zoom. You're growing up around Inman.
Oh, yeah.
Inman is somebody, you know, we were talking about Burchett and the things that he wants to do with his UFO committee. How about bringing forward Inman under oath to give testimony about the programs he did? Because he already admitted he worked in redeveloping when he was assistant deputy CIA director, that he was working on redeveloping UFOs. So he's already put it on the record. Here's a guy who really could give us
some in the 90s. I was like, oh, the Navy's going to disclose in the year 2000 with when the president changed. No. Inman did a couple of interviews recently in the last couple of years. He's not going to say a damn thing.
Right. Now he's singing a totally different tune. He's like, no, we didn't find anything.
Whatever was happening with him in the 90s, I think there was every 10 years there's a plan to disclose something. Mm-hmm. And the gist I got when I was in the room with him and my dad and a couple other admirals was, well, the Navy's going to let out some technology advances, you know, after the election. And then, of course, 9/11 and all that stuff happened. Mm-hmm. But now, no, I think the old guard, they're circling the wagons with loaded guns. I mean, they're really, you know, and I think kind of you just have to bypass those guys.
Yeah.
And deal with the newer because they're lost cause. Even if my dad was still alive, he wouldn't say anything.
Yeah, you've mentioned that because he had the ability to pass this along. He knew your interest in it. And he did say, well, if it's important to you, go after it.
They all do that. They get old and they have a come to Jesus or whatever the hell it is. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, yeah, go. I don't care. But
he didn't. He could have given you some of those keys, maybe.
He gave me a lot of stuff, as I've said many times.
Yeah.
With just the nod.
Mm-hmm.
Ask him a question, and he'd be like, he'd always close his eyes.
Yeah.
And that's the direction I'm going. But he had stiff warnings. But he was, he knew Chris Mellon. They'd done work together for a long time on Capitol Hill, and probably in that magic sphere. Mm-hmm. Probably Chris was in that vein. And I think he even told me that. But, you know, it's kind of like they have the certain mindset. And a lot of it, you know, I'm not going to defend them for what they've done, the old guard.
Yeah.
But they did have a point, you know, religious collapse, you know, panic in the streets, war of the worlds. You know, there is some danger in that stuff and this whole disclosure thing. A lot of what they did and kept secret, they really did, I think, with good intentions. Mm-hmm. Someday society will be a little bit more ready. And maybe they were right. We seem primed now with all the science fiction, and, you know, everything going on and new technologies and what have you. I had a very interesting – do you know who John L. Peterson is?
The name rings a bell. Who is that?
Paradigm Research.
Yes.
He lives out in West Virginia. I'm going to meet up with him. I had a long talk with him on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about everything, the government and everything. And you know, he's a very high-level guy back in the day, in the 90s. He's the real deal. He's a very conservative guy, you know, but he worked for the military and on all this stuff. He is, you know, you can look him up on his website, John L. Peterson. And we had a good conversation. He said to me, and he said this to him in a video after our conversation. And I think I prompted it. And he said, you know, I was in the room with high level people in the early 90s. And they were discussing what would disclosure look like. And they came up with around, I think, 40 scenarios. But only three of those didn't involve French Revolution style, you know, upheaval, collapse of the financial system, you know, burning cars, you know, torching the Capitol and all that. Three. And I said to him, I said, John, if you and I were in that room today talking with the equivalent of those people that were there 30 years ago, I'll bet you those three options are gone.
Wow.
And he said, yep, I think you're right.
So what is it we're getting instead?
Well, I'm going to reiterate till the day I die. It's too little, too late.
Yeah.
I think they know that, but they got to do something. Okay, fair enough. I don't want people to commit suicide. I don't want French Revolution either. But we're going to have some disturbance no matter how you slice disclosure. And, you know, I said this to Greer, and I talked to Danny Sheehan at Greer's shindig, and he and I both agreed that, you know, Greer suing the government over this, okay, great publicity stunt, but, you know, that's not going to work. You know, that's just a waste of time and money.
Yeah.
Especially over this stuff, which a lot of senators aren't read in, and congressmen, they don't know what's going on. They really don't.
Right.
And the few that do, forget it.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, the options are narrowing by the day. If they brought you and I in there, all right, what suggestions do you have? I'm not sure what you would say, but I would say, look, 40 years ago, this would have worked. Not today. Yes, society has moved forward in its thinking, you know, as a whole, I think worldwide, but you're still dealing with masses of very two-dimensional thinking people. I mean, no offense to anyone, but very religious people who are going to have a hard time with this, no matter what the Vatican says or the Episcopalian Church or Islam or anyone says about it. They're still going to have a problem with it because the pieces don't add up. It's like, wait a minute, who are all these gods and goddesses that we've been worshiping since time immemorial? Sorry about that. You know, look up the Anunnaki, and you know, their names changed, Greek gods, Roman gods, you know, everybody. And so I'd say, you know, I would say don't do it too quick, obviously. I used to be on board a quicker, but don't mess around because, and I would tell them point blank, and if some spooks are mislistening here, I'm going to tell you right now, if America doesn't get ahead of this thing, Russia, China, India, Japan, maybe France, others, they'll disclose it for you first.
Right.
America will be playing catch up in perpetuity.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, no one wants that. Now, I know America has its share, more than its fair share of dirty laundry on everything. But look, you know, enough is enough. You know, you got to try to get ahead of this thing. Now, maybe they're trying this Grouche operation to try to do that. They stole the thunder of Greer, some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Neither operation, I mean, it's like Gladiator, the movie. You know, are we not entertained? Totally we are.
Yeah, right.
We're entertained, but it's like it has to go beyond the entertainment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, you're dealing with some heavy-duty shit. And I met with two people off-site from the hotel at a restaurant in D.C., and they were in their late 70s. Very nice people, first names only. And we talked about my dad and politics and all that. And they said, well, you know, what would you say to a group of people that are trying to let all this out? And I told them the same thing I just told you. I said, it's 40 years ago, it would have worked. You know, it's too little too late, but you better get ahead of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going to be playing catch up, and that's going to make things worse. Because the world will blame America for everything. Now, we have our responsibilities, and even as citizens, we have our responsibilities because it was everyone's responsibility to educate themselves. I'm sorry, but it really is.
Yeah, that's really true.
And we got to get over this thing about arresting 100 million people and putting them into military trials. That's just not going to work, and it's not efficient, and it's not right. You start hanging people. Well, you're no better than the Nazis yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the top guys and gals should go to prison for life. But then it's like, okay, we got to pick up the pieces and move on from here. You know, And you're going to have upheaval from the oil companies and coal and big, you know, all that stuff. But the free energy has got to come out.
Yeah.
They toyed with the coal fusion idea, but they gave us the wrong data and it didn't work. Now, the military's had coal fusion since the 60s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a bad way to do free energy. Either a zero point. I'm sure they have solid state zero point cubes powering satellites and everything else and everything under the sun.
But they've held this stuff back publicly so hardcore. In that Greer movie, they made a point about eliminating all the scientists that were involved in it.
Yeah. And all these guys going, I can market my free energy thing that I built in my garage. No, you can't. It's like amazing. Very, very smart people in a very narrow groove.
Yeah.
They don't see the rest of it out. Hello, what about the spooks? And what's the deep state? I don't know. You know, that's not going to work either. You know, Greer's thing, he came out, if we can only get the public on board to show them this stuff. I'm like, well, there is our other problem.
Yeah, the public.
And, you know, it's the public. They are distracted. They are overworked. They are tired. They are struggling financially with medical bills. I mean, you know, and everything.
They're victims of clickbait.
Yeah, it's like I talk to somebody and they're like, I've got so much stuff going on in my life. I don't give a damn about UFOs and aliens. Let them come. I don't care. I got to deal with what's on my plate.
Yeah.
And, you know, it goes from there to people that are ill-educated and ignorant is, you know, and what are we going to do? Because really, the Grush thing, it never made any of the major players. I looked high and low. I searched high and low. None of the major players touched it. So that whole operation was on the level of Greer. No one touched that either. It was like News Nation and, you know.
So it's kind of like internet titillation.
Yeah, News Nation sort of came out of, you know, the thing in Chicago and kind of came out of nowhere. And it seems suspicious to me. You know, I'd never heard of it until the Grush thing. Never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
News Nation, you know.
Yeah. Debrief. Yeah.
Debrief. You know,
they didn't get the New York Times, Washington Post stamp of approval this time around, not like they did with TTSA. They came in through this other thing. But again, you had the threat piece mixed into it.
Always.
You had Grush saying, oh, you know, many, many military people have died, you know.
Which is probably true.
Yeah.
But
it's all about how those facts are used.
Truth, they're just going to distort it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've read, I mean, I've read, you know, all kinds of stuff that purport that we, you know, attacked UFOs and they defended themselves. And you know, there are a lot of species of ETs that aren't friendly and have come here to exploit.
Yeah.
And some people say, well, they've been doing it since Anunnaki times and they never left. And it's like, well, that's a possibility too. And, you know, it's so they're telling you some truth.
But aren't they giving us kind of a...
they're intermingled with us here on Earth now and always have been.
Right, exactly. If
you look at this... Illuminati people are all in cahoots. And it's like, well, some of them are. But
yes, big time.
I learned all this on my own. No one told me anything.
Right. Well, if you look at... let's take a look at campaign 2024 for a moment.
Because I want RFK as vice president and Trump as president.
There you go. You got the magic ticket right there.
Yeah, I made that meme.
When you look at that and you see the situation of Trump has the deep background around the UFO file through his uncle.
They're both highly qualified.
Yeah. Bobby Kennedy through his family.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
Bobby Kennedy's been on.
But you have weird things going on, like DeSantis and Bigelow giving him every cent and saying, I'll eat cheese for a living and go hungry if I can get him into the presidency. So there's already UFO pieces of the UFO file going into that 2024 election. What do you think on the Bobby and Trump side? Should they take the issue and run down the field with it and really make it a centerpiece, since this whole phony deep state operation of rolling out the false UFO threat is already underway through Congress?
It might still be too hot of a potato, politically speaking. they probably won't.
Yeah.
But you never know. I'm surprised at what RFK has done with the intel about his father and all that, and his uncle, JFK. So maybe. The time is right, I think. Every time you go on Netflix and Amazon Prime Video, I mean, everything is just alien attack, Star Trek, Star Wars. You know, is heavy, heavy sci-fi, which isn't so much fiction. But, you know, I think that's a thing. DeSantis, Bigelow is just a weird guy. I don't know why he said that. That seems pretty clear that DeSantis is the deep state black hat choice.
Yeah.
You know, seems pretty clear to me. Isn't Mike Pence running?
He's running. I would think Newsom is the other deep state choice on the Democrats.
Newsom.
Gruesome Newsom.
You know, it's RFK or Trump. And yeah. So I think it's a win-win no matter who we get.
Yeah.
It's a disclosure president. So I think we're okay. You never
but
know.
RFK, the DNC is already, like, they're not going to have any debates. They're going to try to keep Stepford Biden doing his thing, you know, stumbling around on the podium and all the rest. They're going to try to keep RFK out. So then you have Trump, but they have so many cases against Trump trying to legally drag him as he continues. He's like 70% in the Republican polls. You know, so he's winning the primaries. There's no question. And he's even beating Biden in the latest polls. But if they drag him in a legal process, we could find ourselves in the middle of a constitutional crisis.
Well, I think we already are in one. We're perpetually in a constitutional crisis, but
yeah,
that's a hard one to prove. But, you know, they could pull all kinds of shenanigans to try and muck up the elections. But my gut feeling is it's not going to work. DeSantis doesn't have the horsepower. Neither does Gary Newsom against RFK and Trump. I mean, those guys carry big names and lots of horsepower. There's no way. We're going to get one or the other, which is great. I don't think there's ever been a combined ticket before in history. I'm trying to think, maybe a Federalist in there somewhere, but, you know, probably not. But
they only had a unity ticket. It happened with Lincoln, with Johnson in 1864. They did it, which is pretty incredible. They ran on a national unity ticket. They were able to pull it off, but, you know, again, when you look at the forces, they must look out at Bobby Kennedy from the deep state side and just think, what is going on here? Like, you know, we have to stop this guy. Not only is he going to out the whole vaccine thing, but he is outing our own past of, you know, assassinating his family members. I mean, there's a whole historical arc to his candidacy. So either way, we're in for an incredible battle royal for 2024.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's going to be the most interesting election since World War II.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things at stake. I think they've covered their bases. I don't like using white hat or black hat. It's really light gray or dark gray. The old guard black hats, they don't like it. But I think they're dying off. And they're getting very old. And this newer generation of deep state conservatives, neocons, they still wear dark gray hats, but they're not black. I have a feeling it's softening the middle.
Interesting.
You know, the gray hats who are lighter gray, they've softened. There's some softening in the middle. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here talking about any of this because Chris Mellon and everybody wouldn't have come forward. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did. They talked it up. But it's always this goofy, weird Tom DeLonge thing or this Grouch thing, which is, I have no photos or videos. You know, I'm just telling you another ghost story. I'm a U.S. Air Force officer. And it didn't go anywhere. And so we have to presume, okay, did it not go anywhere on the major papers or news networks on purpose? Or didn't meet the approval of the few remaining black hats, you know, 95 to 100 years old, you know, they're saying, God damn it, sons of bitches. You know, your mind starts to spin with the possibilities. But I find it interesting that the Greer thing and the Grouch thing, the operation, it didn't make any of the major players. It only made tabloids and, of course, whatever News Nation is, you know. and the debrief and something else, you know. Greer had to do a lot of his own publicity. Nobody would cover it. The news agencies that we saw there with cameras and everything, I did see other people saw, you know, some reporters from Newsweek and things like that, but nobody Newsweek had a blurb that there was going to be a UFO conference in DC with Dr. Greer. That was it. They didn't cover it. They did a blurb. And so I think the people there doing the press that was at the Greer function, I think they were data intelligence gatherers for someone.
Do you think that they were nervous about the Greer event?
Yes. When I met with these two people at a restaurant, I talked to them about that, and they said, look, there are people very concerned. They're trying to move a little bit of disclosure forward. And I said, yeah, I know. And they said, you know, your cousin's trying with the Grush and the UAP people and everything like that. But they're worried about Greer. And I said, well, again, why didn't you do this? You know, you go ahead and tell, you know, your friends or whoever that you represent. They should have done this 30 years ago when Greer started coming out with it, but they didn't. But now they kind of have to because Greer's gotten more traction. You have, everyone has. Mm-hmm. The topic has expanded. And so
interesting. Yeah.
Catch up, but they are worried. This guy said to me, he says, look, you know, they're longtime supporters of Greer, but they're connected with top level people. I think, you know, I recognize this guy from somewhere. And I said, I understand. And they said, Greer's playing checkers, but we need people that can play chess. And I said, you need people who can play three-dimensional Star Trek chess in a quantum vacuum. And they were
like,
wow. That's really, my apologies to Stephen. I don't mean to cut him off like that. This is just what I was told, but it's what a lot of people were thinking at the show. The groups of people I talked to, they were like, we love Stephen. He does a great job, you know, but we need to move a little farther ahead. And this whole thing about all aliens are angels and benevolent, that just doesn't wash with anyone anymore. We live in a duality universe. It stands to reason that human beings, like everyone else, has some, you know, duality. We have a lot. Some races probably don't have as much, but, you know, come on. It runs the gamut. Dark. Mm-hmm. What the Hermetic law and the law of one and ancient Egypt, it's all the battle between the energies, light and dark, yin and yang. I mean, come on, folks. I mean, whoever told Greer that, or whether or not he just chose to believe that, you know, I don't know. But it's like, we need to move beyond that. And these people told me that. I said, you're preaching to the choir, because most people I've talked to in the Greer show, they want him to move forward. But he is at the 75% mark, and he will not move forward.
Interesting.
Maybe 76% mark, because of that story of the whistleblower. I'm very proud of him coming out with that. Talking about human trafficking has not been in Greer's lexicon.
Yeah, that's new. That is new for sure. Yeah,
that was a progression. But, man, we've got to come to terms with this stuff, because no matter who discloses, I don't care if it's Russia, China, or anything, it's going to just happen. And it's going to be messy. You know, and there's no way to do this like they're trying to do, slowly, dipping their toes into the water. Oh, just feeling people out and everything. It's like, no, we're way beyond that, because even though the public's ignorant, once you tell them all this stuff is real, you know, alien visitation, technology, you know, moon base, whatever, they're going to go right to Netflix documentaries. They're going to find you. They're going to find everyone. And they're going to go apeshit over all of them. Because right now we're still got this vast Grand Canyon between the mainstream public and then the tiny disclosure movement. I don't know, 3 million people out of 7.7 billion. But once you build a bridge, they're just 7.7 billion. They're going to start building their own bridges. Mm-hmm. And they're going to come across that gulf in droves. And that's why I said to these folks, I said, 30, 40 years ago, maybe you had a chance, but now the internet, the all the movies you can watch, everything. The public's been warmed up stupidly with, you know, invasion, you know, alien bad,
right.
You know, which is overkill. You know, yes, there are threats out in the cosmos, but it's nowhere near, you know, the amount that even on Star Trek, it's like, holy shit, fire phasers first, you know, ask questions later. Yeah, Star Wars, everyone shoots everyone. You can't tell who's good guy or bad guy.
Right.
And that's sort of the point. Who is a good guy and who is a bad guy? I'm not sure anymore. You know, I mean, it gets very gray area nuance. And of course, the general public, I'm sorry, they like black and white answers, easy answers to everything. There's none of that in this. Very complex, super complex. Stephen Bassett once said, and I talked to him too recently, he said something years ago that I really liked. He said, forget disclosure. It's too big, it's too complex, and there's too much disinformation to make it.
Wow.
That was 15 years ago. It can be done now, but there's going to be so much confusion because of all the disinformation.
Mm-hmm.
You and I are trying our best to sift it out, what's real, what's not, what's legit. It's very hard. You know, we may
get,
my God, you know, you're an idiot. You know, it was wrong. And it's like, well, I'm sorry. We were working with the best intelligence. We're trying to filter it through our experiences the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole thing where the UAP task force is dipping their toes in the water with Grouche, and, you know, the Grouche thing, you know, he's just another long line of people who had a story.
Yeah.
You know, we all tell
stories. There's nothing firsthand about his testimony. It's all about what people told him in briefings. Yeah.
Chris Millen's stamp of approval was all over it on the debrief. You know, I'm sure he cobbled it up.
Yeah.
His Boy Scout, Dudley Do-Right, you know, fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Just do something very conservative and we'll talk. Maybe there was a crash. Maybe there were some bodies. And it's like, no shit, man.
Yeah.
They've been talking about this since the late 50s.
No, this was the first time ever, John.
Oh,
this was it.
Sorry.
Oldhart said so. For the first time ever, you know, an American intelligence official has come forward and said there are UFOs.
Yeah, it's all part of the operation. It's so obvious to us.
Yeah.
Well, in the disclosure arena, most of us. But to the general public, you know, they know who their target audience is. It's not us.
I think that they built Grouche over a period of time too. It's interesting with Chris, your cousin. I just want to bring this in for a second,
may I interject?
Yes, please.
Just throwing it out here, folks. Guess where Grouche is from?
Where?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, interesting. Right.
Blue collar family in Pittsburgh, he said. Guess where Mellon Bank is?
Yes.
Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing it out there, folks. I don't know.
That is interesting. That's one heck of a location. Yeah.
$10 on the table says he's been to the Rolling Rock Club where Chris and my cousins live in Ligonier, Pennsylvania. Many times.
Interesting.
Over the years. Grooming him for this job, which I don't actually disagree with all that much because you do need to move the general public forward in a respectful way. I agree. They're right, but they've waited far too long. It's too little too late.
They're UFO neocons, right? Because they want the threat piece. They want to come at it. They want to come through it from a threat perspective.
Gray hats. They're not, you know, I don't think Chris Mellon's evil. None of those people, Gary Nolan, I mean, Travis Taylor, Skinwalker Ranch, you know, they've overplayed that on the History Channel a million times.
They're not evil, but they're deceptive. I mean, we can go that far. And it's interesting, I think, with Mellon, you know, he's been trying to – he tried to promote the Lou thing. He's trying to move through all these channels. When you think about him as your cousin, you know, you said that at a young age he had an interest in the UFO thing. Yeah. And over time, in those centers of intelligence around defense – they probably explained it to him on a certain level. They probably read him in, as you said, a little bit.
He read him in a little bit at a time. He's got probably a decent knowledge of the file, but as he would always put it to me several times, I don't believe in the wild stuff that Tom DeLonge and you believe in. And I took that as an insult because Tom DeLonge's an idiot. But it's, Chris Millen's heart's in the right place too. It's just he's doing the, you know, coat and tie version where you and I are in blue jeans, you know, drinking a martini, you know. So I think everyone's trying to move this ball over, you know, forward towards the goal line, but in very different styles and at very different paces. And once you reach that goal line, you know, the goal, Chris Millen and the UAP test were, they want to let out an approved little bit, a good chunk, probably, you know, yeah, we've been visited. Yes. Crashes. Yes. Some back engineering. Yeah. Maybe your laptop. I'm not sure, but maybe your, you know, phone.
Intelligence sanctioned version of UFO.
Military. Yeah. It's military IC approved and congressional approved. That would have worked 40 years ago. It's too late for that. Mm-hmm. No matter how they slice this big, giant baloney, and it is giant baloney, we're all going to be covered in mustard and muck. It's going to explode. They're trying to keep the explosion happening maybe 30 years from now instead of 10 years from now. But my advice to them is you better get ahead of it. Because everyone else, especially China and Russia, they're pissed off now at us. They always are. They might say, oh, you know, the American military's had UFOs, and so do we. And then all of a sudden, Grush and everything, it's all yesterday's, you know, a fish wrapped in a newspaper. It's just, it stinks.
Well, it's interesting.
And the tall whites and all these stories are going to come out.
Yeah.
Like once.
That's the tall whites.
I know you love the tall whites.
One of the most, it's very interesting and I think underexplored story.
Tell that Native American story.
Yes, absolutely.
I thought that was interesting.
I think it's interesting when we look at the Grush thing. You've pointed something out here, which is Grush is recycling a lot of old hash in the UFO field. Oh, UFO crash retrievals with bodies. I mean, this is the original Roswell story, is it not?
It's worse. I mean, yeah. It's gratuitous. You know, they're treating everyone like, you know, grade school kids, you know, which.
Yes.
And that to a point. But when you treat people like children, they'll act like children. You treat people as adults and with respect, they'll act more adultish. This whole thing about patronizing the American people, I'm not going to talk about the world, but the American people, that's one of my biggest beefs of all of this. It's like, man up and tell people, you know, something solid instead of this mamby-pamby run around. Maybe this is an anomaly. Maybe this is a mystery we need to solve. And, you know, you're lying by omission. You're lying.
That's it. Right. Yeah.
It's, you know, but everyone said that for 75 years. It's nothing new. It's just, but now they're actually talking about it. Although the UAP task force now it seems to be distancing itself from the Pentagon. And
That's interesting.
Like liaison to Congress. I don't know. It's so janky. I can't figure it out.
Well, we knew when they set up a series of things, UAP task force, AIMSOG, Arrow, they were trying to dilute it so that you almost wouldn't know where to go to find it. In fact, one of the things I want to point out about the dangers of this whole thing, we just went through the COVID deal where they seized a tremendous amount through emergency powers. Everything from you can't go outside, you have to wear a mask to buy groceries and all the rest. And, you know, you have to get a vaccine to do your job, right? So when you think about aspects that they could use in relation to the UFO file, like the UFO file threat, let's say it's not with lasers and things from UFOs, but it's, hey, these ET are here and they've brought a virus. Yeah. What do you think of a scenario like that?
Well, I've heard a lot of stories about, you know, them using DNA from all kinds of creatures from the, you know, the galaxy and whatnot. It stands to reason that a black program would, time ago, once you develop some really serious viruses as weapons, and oh, by the way, here's a tray of DNA from all over the place, and they just mixed and matched, and you know, who who knows what they've done. It's a horrible thought, but I think it's important that you bring it up because it's something worth discussing after the COVID fiasco. Boy, next time they might let something out that, you know, everyone's skin turns purple and, you know, yes. You get a Star Trek tattooed on your lapel. You know, it may get really weird, and that's disturbing. But look at our history. I mean, probably Bayer came up with mustard gas and all the in World War I. I mean, unconscionable crap.
Yeah.
It's just horrifying, this stuff. Why wouldn't some dark-hatted faction of the deep state do that? I mean, if I'm Dr. Strangelove, you know, my Führer, you know, I would say all kinds of viruses to, you know, brains, download a retrovirus, which the Nazis are purported to have been experimenting with Dr. Mengele. I write that in my book.
Right.
I think that's true. I think Mengele came up with the idea of implanting DNA in people with a retrovirus. And he certainly was experimenting on psychic twins. He found those big pineal glands in the twins. It's horrible history.
Yeah, it is. That's fascinating, though, John, because when you mention the psychic part, whenever we get around that with the UFO piece, there's always an overlap in connection. As a matter of fact, it's been suggested. And I remember talking to Russell Targ about him developing this UFO ESP machine for Wernher von Braun because he wanted to test the astronauts' ESP level. There's something about that technology that requires a kind of advanced psychic ability to start with to go in and get any results.
That started with the Germans.
Right.
I've read reports that FDR had a psychic division under Army G2 here in Arlington. But we were way behind the Russians and the Germans and the English on the psychic stuff. Psychics has been used in wars since the get-go.
Didn't they get rid of all those?
A genius commander like Patton and Napoleon. Patton would go to sleep in Sicily and wake up with a battle plan all ready to go. Where did that come from? Yeah. So these high-functioning people that are geniuses, military commanders, leaders, they have a psychic component. This gets into the Royals thing. I'm coming out with my report on the Holy Grail, what I think is the Holy Grail. The halos represent people with psychic and telekinesis powers. That's what they were. It didn't mean they were holy. No, that's what holy really meant. These people were royals and clergy and military people. If you look at the Renaissance paintings and all throughout the haloed people, they're very important people, like the Medici family or the Villa d'Este, the d'Este family of Italy. I was just there, my wife and I at the villa, and they had paintings of them with a little bit of an oblong head. And sure enough, you know, there's halos.
Oh, interesting.
So the psychic component, everyone thinks this is a newfangled thing. No. Everyone is naturally psychic. Mm-hmm. As to what level? You know, that's your intuition. That's your sixth sense. Everyone has it.
Right.
Mine calls me dummy. Turn left, dummy. And so don't jump over that bridge. So it goes back a long time. And so they groomed. Yeah. That's what these bloodline things are all about. What's the big deal with all the bloodlines? The Royals, the Committee of 300. You're breeding. You're trying to keep the psychic. Whatever, maybe it's Anunnaki DNA that's, you know, more than the rest. I don't know. But it certainly seems to do with psychic abilities. Because
interesting.
If you're a bishop in the year 1500 in Italy and you have a painting done and you have a halo, that means you're really communicating with higher intelligences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to get into the religious argument, but you know, whether you understand that or not, whether that's your version of God or, Gnosis, Sophia, whatever it is, you know, you're dealing with the universal consciousness and things like that.
Well,
you're mistaking that for
something
else.
When you think of some of those native cultures, they found them in Peru and other places with that kind of cone head shape. And then you think of those oblong skulls in the Egyptian Akhenaten paintings with Nefertiti. That's what you're talking about. They somehow, there was a physical process involved in developing the pineal gland.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the large cranial capacity, you see that. Somehow, I think they must have intermingled, or maybe way, way back in pre-Diluvian times, they were everywhere, the oblong-headed folks. Mm-hmm. And who knows what constituted their DNA. It was probably very exotic. This skull's Brian Furster, his channel, he does a great job with that. Huge skulls. You can't buy this anymore. Oh, it's an anomaly. You know, man, that word's been overused. It's like a retreaded tire. You know, it's anomaly. I call it an anomaly. No, it's not. It's just a different race of human beings. You know, there's different races of us.
John, amazing today. Thank you. Now let's go even deeper in part two and get a timeline of where the secrecy around the UFO file really started. John's latest book, Lion, Tiger, Bear, a historical novel about exotic technology, is available now, and he has a new one called Sanity Was a Luxury coming up later this year. Join us at darkjournalist.com and get even more interviews, special episodes, and special reports. Please join us on Friday nights at 8 p.m. for the Dark Journalist X series. See you soon.